Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Hello everyone and welcome. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, who is now working on getting it known that the Speaker of the House, Chris Sprouls, and the President of the Senate, and that would be Wilton Simpson, who is also running for Commissioner of Agriculture, refused to allow a bill to come to the floor to be heard. And this bill would have stopped pornography and other harmful materials going out to minors. They refused to hear it. These people should never be elected to anything. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to tone it down for a moment because there are other topics that we have to be talking about. And every time I talk about those two, I get aggravated more and more. How could they do that? I am sure that this past week, everyone has heard of Ukraine. And I doubt if there is anyone who can't find it on a map anymore. What is missing, though, is an understanding of what's going on with Ukraine. Why are we even involved in fighting for this country that, question mark, belongs where? For what reason? Yes, they are human beings and have no right to be trampled on by the Russians, but this has been going on for years and years and years. And one of the things that I did realize is that a large portion of our population, well, you're not seniors like I am, and you may not remember the history of where this all started and what happened. And as I was looking for this information, I came upon a wonderful article written by a friend, Dick Morris, who happens to have a new show on Newsmax. I'm going to let him tell you all about it. Dick knows a bit about the history of Ukraine, and that's why this is so important. Welcome to the show, Dick. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good to be here, Karen. It's good to be with you.
Yes, and I know that you have a new show. So before we even get started, would you tell everyone what your new show is all about?
It's 7:30 Eastern on Saturday evening, 6:30 Central, and also 1 p.m. on Sunday Eastern, so noon on Central. It's called Democracy. It's on the Newsmax TV channel. And I talk about important topics and give political insight. For those who don't know me, I was the chief advisor to President Clinton and also very actively advising President Trump in the campaign. And I talk about a whole range of important topics. The one that's going to be on later is about talent power changing American politics. I believe that the victory of Youngkin for governor of Virginia over Terry McAuliffe, the incumbent governor of West, had to sit out of turn, was largely due to the issue of parent power. Youngkin embraced the concerns of parents throughout Virginia about their children being taught critical race theory, being taught explicit details of sexual alternatives and preferences, even if they're in elementary school, and also objecting to English teachers who would have them read pornography and sexual explicit writing and pictures, even if the parents objected. And this is all partially related to forcibly ejecting children over their parents' consent, over their parents' objections in the COVID crisis. The polling, I did a survey of the Bourbon College women and National Park. known that there was tremendous opposition to these measures and tremendous support for parental power. And this show discusses that issue and discusses that survey. And it does so in a political context. I've become a major advisor to Trump and to the Republican Party. And despite my beginning as a Democrat for Clinton, Bill Clinton, never Hillary.
Well, that gives you an advantage, Dick, because now you know both sides.
Yes, I do. Like Jody Mitchell, I've been on both sides now. But the point is that the college women basically became a mainstay of the Democratic Party, particularly after the abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. But this issue really gives the Republicans a way of recapturing their support, because Democrats have been emphatic in saying that parents should not be telling teachers what to teach and what to do in school. And when I tested that point of view, that education is best left to the educators and the experts, as opposed to saying that parents should play a key role in it, if their children, they know them the best, and that they should help decide what values their children are taught, rather than left-wing educators. There was support for the parent power point of view at about 60-40.
Well, as a former teacher, I can't tell you how important it was for me to be able to interact with the parents. And the idea that parents should have no voice in education, when I first heard that, I could not believe that until I began to realize that this was part of the socialist, communist, whatever ism we want to choose to put it, globalist idea that your child should be, as Hillary said, raised by the village and not by the parents. How wrong is that? And I used to tell everyone that I knew, I loved my kids when I had them, but I only had them for 9 months out of the year. And 2 years later, many of them didn't even know who I was anymore. But the parents remain with the child constantly, and they are the best source for the child. Thank you, Dick, for bringing this up.
Good. Well, again, I'm in politics, so I see it as a political issue. And the assertion that the power should not reside with what one parent advocate taught me, the new word, educrat, E-D-U-C-R-A-T-S, combination of bureaucrat and educator, but should reside with parents, I think is very important. And I think it represents a way to explain and to swing voters how the denial of democracy, the denial of the power of the nuclear family, the infatuation with so-called experts and elites that characterizes so much of the left wing in the Democratic Party is really intruding on education and causing serious harm to our children. This, I think, was exemplified by the decision to close schools for 2 years without any significant evidence that COVID was a serious threat to young people. And it completely denied an entire generation of Americans 2 years of education, and for really no reason. Johns Hopkins reported that the decision to close schools did not reduce deaths by any measurable amount. And yet it did, I think, impair the social and intellectual development of millions of children a great deal.
Well, the only good side that came from that is that I believe that it created an awareness of parents as to what is going on in school and what their children are actually being taught. And I was so excited to see the parents finally standing up and saying, no, this is not what we should be teaching our children. I was on a committee in Florida bringing civics back to Florida schools. And one of the things that astounded me constantly was the calling of America being a democracy, when America is a republic that uses a democratic form of government to govern. But initially, America is a republic, and that's not even being taught. All our kids are being taught is that America is a democracy.
I want to note that one of the things that we tested in the survey was a proposal that I support, and I think President Trump will support, that a majority of the seats on local school boards be composed of parents whose children are actually in school, and that those members of the school board be chosen in special elections among only the parents, not teachers and not other people.
That would be a wonderful idea. That would be fabulous, because if you take a look at the makeup of your school board, everyone, one of the things that they are attempting to do in Florida is to have the school board members list their political affiliations, because, well, we know that the left lies. And that's how a lot of these people got elected, by sprouting a lie like Joe Biden just did with his State of the Union. And people hear that, that's what they want to hear, so they'll vote for that person. And then that person has no way, shape, or form that they're going to follow what they said in order to get elected.
Let's spend a moment on Ukraine, okay, Alan?
That would be a wonderful idea.
Okay. I think that what's important to remember about these, I do consulting in foreign elections, and my client was Viktor Yushchenko, who was the first pro-Western president of the Ukraine from 2004 to 2008. He has a checkered history in that he was a strong advocate of democracy, and he was elected in 2004, but after he was elected, the KGB invited him to a meeting and poisoned his soup with dioxin, and caused his face to become totally disfigured. He was within an inch of dying. And after the assassination attempt failed, he governed Ukraine successfully for 4 years. So he certainly paid the price of freedom. You got to realize that Ukraine, which is a nation of 45 million people, larger than any other European nation in square mileage other than Russia, is really the breadbasket of Russia. It's the bulk of the agricultural production and a huge source of the agricultural production of Europe. It's had a horrible history. These people have suffered more than you can imagine. After Russia became communist and 1917, during the early 30s, the dictator Stalin decided that he wanted to industrialize very quickly. So he insistently demanded that all peasants in the Ukraine who had small farms, they were called kulaks, had to leave the farms and go into the cities and work as slave labor in factories. And when the kulaks objected, Stalin began to kill them, but shooting them took too long. So he decides to starve them to death and sent teams throughout the countryside, plowing up fields, murdering livestock, and seizing grain so efficiently and so thoroughly that 4 million farmers starved to death. You know what it takes to make a farmer starve to death, be surrounded by food in his area. Then 4 years later, he decided to murder all of the farmers that remained and killed another 2 million. Then Hitler invaded Russia, and when the Russians pushed the Germans back, they decided that anybody that lived in Ukraine and still survived must have been collaborating with the Nazis, and they killed another 2 or 3 million people. So when, in 1991, when the Soviet Union fell, Ukraine was very anxious to be independent and declared their independence. But they immediately were subjugated by a puppet government that Russia imposed, using its military might to do that. And that puppet government, that basically was like the satellites in Eastern Europe used to be, lasted until 2004, when there was an election, and a fixed election, a rigged election, and the communists won. So the people of Ukraine decided not to take it anymore, and over a million people in Kiev, the capital, flooded the streets and protest demanding a fair election. And they did this in November, which is the beginning of a very severe winter there. And for 4 months, 1 million people stood and sat in the square of the central part of Kiev and refused to move. They literally faced down tanks and certainly tear gas and clubs and everything else, and occupied the city for 4 months until they drove the current puppet leadership from office. The president fled the country, and Yushchenko led this revolution. It was called the Orange Revolution. And since then, Ukraine has been free. Democracy, having elections, having alternating political power. And Russia attempted to, as always needed to take over Ukraine. Russia's 145 million people, Ukraine is 45 million. But together, they're a very large and formidable power. But separate, Russia really is not that big and not strong. Russia's strategy for doing that was that you cut off oil shipments to Ukraine, which is dependent on Russia for all of its oil and gas. Ukrainians very slyly tapped the pipeline that runs from their country to Germany and helped themselves to the gas that was en route to Germany. And as a result, they didn't freeze over the winter. Putin was enraged and he retaliated by invading southern Ukraine, an area called Crimea, and conquering it. And he also made a deal with Germany to build a pipeline under the Baltic Sea to ship Russian gas directly to Germany, but could not be interrupted by Ukrainians. And Trump tried to kill the pipeline and did, but then Biden revived it when he took office and repealed the sanctions. And the pipeline is now closed in protest against the invasion. But Putin is really bent on reestablishing the old Soviet empire. You know, when Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," Putin is in effect rebuilding the wall. And the Ukraine, I think, is just the next step for him. And I think after that, he'll probably invade Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, the Baltic countries that used to be independent, and then probably invade Poland as well, maybe Hungary. So this is March to Eastern Europe against Hitler in the middle of the 20th century, and needs to be stopped, because if you don't oppose it, you let it happen. That appeasement will simply encourage Hitler and now Stalin and now Putin become more invade, more aggressive and more imperialist.
Now, didn't Clinton tell Ukraine, wasn't there a big push for Ukraine to get rid of all of their nuclear weapons? Yeah. And they were told that NATO and America would support them and stand with them?
When the Soviet Union broke up, they had nuclear warheads all over the Soviet Union. And there were 2,000 in Ukraine, which had Ukraine kept them, which made it the third largest nuclear power in the world at the time. And Clinton went to Ukraine and said, get rid of those weapons. And Ukraine said, yes, we will, but we want the commitment by Russia and America to respect our sovereignty and leave us as an independent country and guarantee our borders. That was called the Budapest Memorandum. And Yeltsin, who at the time was president of Russia, signed it, and Clinton signed it. And that constitutes really commitment by America to protect Ukraine's borders. And it was very important to Clinton. I spoke with him about it several times. In fact, I asked him why he was pushing to get Poland and Hungary into NATO, which he did. He said, because it's a land bridge to the Ukraine, and we need to keep Ukraine out of the Russian orbit.
Ukraine is also important to Russia because it provides warm water ports, which Russia is sorely lacking. And this is another reason for Russia to rebuild their empire. But isn't this really a direct attack on America? If we push everything aside, isn't that the big dog that they're going after?
In his speech that launched the invasion, Putin attacked not Ukraine, but America, saying that attempting to impose degenerate Western values on the Russian people, by which he also meant being anti-gay. And it's clear that this is an assault on the United States. It is no more a battle for Gettysburg than Robert E. Lee invaded, no more an assault to Ukraine than when Robert E. Lee invaded Pennsylvania to say his goal was to conquer Gettysburg, rather than to defeat the Union. And Putin's goal here is to beat the United States. Karen, I appreciate the interview, but I do have to get going.
Okay, please tell everyone where they can find you and how they can.
I send a video out to my 250,000 subscribers every morning called The Lunch Alert, Comments on Politics. And you can sign up for free at dickmorris.com.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Dick. As always, this is incredible information, and we appreciate it. And appreciate you. Thank you.
How valuable and important you were to me when you educated me about Agenda 21, which I'll let you explain to your listeners. They don't know it now, but I was unacquainted with it. And after meeting with you and learning about it, I wrote a book called Here Come the Black Helicopters, still available, that warns of the impact of Agenda 21 and basically predicted what Obama and Biden have both done to try to impose it on localities throughout the United States. So thank you, Karen. This interview is kind of payback for that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for everything you're doing. Well, folks, I am very, very worried about inflation and what it's going to do to our food costs. And I see horrible things happening because I know from the past that hungry people do horrible things. And it isn't even going to be the ability to pay for the food. It's going to be the ability to get the food. What's going on right now with the farmers, with the fertilizers, with the soil, with the hay, with you name it, every single thing is doubled, tripled. What is that going to do to the food prices? Go and buy a piece of meat, $30, $40, $50. This is going to be very bad, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So please, I cannot stress upon you enough. It is so important that you prepare. My suggestion is take a closet in your house, make sure you get a lock on it, empty it out, and start filling it up with food. The worst thing that'll happen is you'll have more food. At least you will be prepared. Think like this: what would happen if I had to stay in my house, in my apartment, for a week, for a month? Would I be able to do that? You have to put yourself in that position. It is, like I said, going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. Many of you don't remember the 60s and 70s. Many of you don't remember the atrocities that happened at that time, and the gas lines, and the bombings, and the fires, and the riots. It was just like it was this past summer, and that's the sad part. We are living in a time where the Americans that we thought were working with us have turned out to be our enemy. The globalists, the rhinos, the Democrats, they are our enemy. And if we don't start recognizing that they are our enemy, then when time comes and they show their true colors, which they are showing now, you will be surprised. I don't want you to be surprised. I want you to understand. They hate us. There is nothing about us that they like. And they would like us to disappear. And if they could press the disappear button, they would do that. They are interested in money, power, and control. That's all they care about. It is important that you know and you can understand who they are and you can name them. And your friends who say, I'm voting for a Democrat because my mom did, when that little circle is filled in, nobody knows. And I'm not telling you to lie, but I am telling you to think wisely before you make that little circle. Think wisely and remember, everything these people are telling you is a lie. Everything that they are doing is done by design to hurt you, to hurt us, to hurt the American people. They do not want us to succeed. Otherwise, they would have to share our fortunes, and I don't mean our dollars, I mean our ideas, with the rest of the world. And that would bite into their empire, and they can't have that. So, my friends, be prepared. Get involved in your community. Know what's going on. Know the people that are running your community. And don't fall in the trap of the globalists, the rhinos, the Democrats, who have absolutely no desire to help you in any way, shape, or form. The only thing they are interested in is themselves. Remember that. It is so important. They are the enemy, the real enemy. And we have to be incredibly careful and be ahead of them and be prepared. And on that note, I will also say, and I will be right back. So don't go away. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, who has done, as I have said over and over again, an amazing job helping our kids and getting bills passed that will actually support our kids. So what you have to do, my friends, is make sure that you vet your candidates and get the right ones. Be right back. Don't go away.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The invincible American spirit drives the most audacious experiment in the history of self-government. America Out Loud celebrates the American spirit every minute of every day. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Along with a healthy immune system, clean air is vital for optimal health. According to the EPA, we spend 90% of our time indoors, where germs are most concentrated. It's essential to clean indoor air. Genesis is the only technology that quickly, safely, and effectively kills pathogens both in the air and on surfaces in seconds, reducing the viral load in any environment. The powerful, well-built Genesis Fogger produces a dry, ultra-fine mist using HOCL, which occurs naturally in our own immune systems. We'll be living with airborne diseases in the future. New viruses and antibiotic-resistant superbugs are no problem for Genesis. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next. Visit GenesisFogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. And we will be talking about the Alliance a little bit because the Alliance really works hard on getting bills, especially dealing with education, to be recognized and passed. And that is a problem that we seem to be having in our Florida legislature. You would think that if they have an R after their name, they would at least stick with our governor, who is doing an amazing job keeping Florida free in this time of tyranny. What other governor stands up to the president like DeSantis? What other governor said, no, we're not going to close Florida, we're not going to close schools, we're not going to close anything? And what other governor gets called out for telling children that they can take off those masks? Well, the Alliance and my next guest, who is a wonderful dear friend and used to be in the legislature. He was a representative in the Florida House. And for that reason, he knows all about the workings of the Florida legislature. Welcome, Rep. Mike Hill, and thank you for joining me. Mike, you were in the legislature. How does it work? The president of the Senate and the speaker of the House are allowing bills not to be heard? That does not make sense. They pass through all of these committees, all this work is done, and they get to the floor, and the president and the speaker won't let them be heard. How does that work, Mike?
Karen, it's utterly amazing, first of all, that you are in a situation like that. We have a Republican-controlled House, Republican-controlled Senate, a Republican governor, a conservative Supreme Court, and we cannot get conservative issues passed in Florida, which should be. One example is constitutional carry, which, according to the Constitution, we have a right to bear arms to protect and defend ourselves, our families, and our property. And we have an opportunity to do that. There's a bill sponsored by Representative Sabatini, and they would not even give it a committee hearing, much less let it get to the floor. Another gun rights bill was to repeal the unconstitutional red flag laws, which were passed shortly after the shooting at the Parkland High School. That bill was brought forward to repeal the unconstitutional red flag laws, which essentially says that someone can have their guns and ammunition confiscated from them merely on the suggestion of another person that they are not in their right mind.
So you mean to tell me, Mike, if I decided you were off and whatever, were doing things I didn't like, I could call the police and say, you better go and look at Mike Hill because I don't think he's all together. And if he has weapons, you should take him away. Is that the way that works?
That's right. There's one more step between there, though, Karen, that the police have to take the evidence to a judge, and a judge has to say, yes, I agree. When a judge has not evaluated this person, the judge does not know that person's history, just based on the accusation that comes forward and the police thinks that it might be a credible threat, this judge can now issue a warrant for them to come and confiscate your weapons and your ammunition. Way too many times in Florida, Polk County is the leader in that. Thousands have had that happen to them. It's utterly amazing. Well, that bill was brought forward to repeal that unconstitutional red flag law. And by the way, it did not have the support of the NRA, Marion Hammer in Florida, for whatever reason, it did not. So that bill was not even heard. But back to your original question, why would we have a Senate president and a Speaker of the House who would not hear conservative bills that have gone through committee and are ready to now be passed on the floor? There are two things that I would think could be probabilities. One, the Senate president is running for agricultural commissioner. In other words, he has higher aspirations. And so, like a politician, unfortunately, instead of standing firm to your principles, they start going towards the middle, thinking that they need Democrats to vote for them to win. So that's one possibility. The other is that they have gotten tremendous pressure from lobbying firms, whether it's from the NRA, the Florida Chamber, or the Florida Bar, any number of other organizations, put tremendous pressure on them to tell them to not bring these bills forward, especially in an election year. Because they say if you do, when a vote is taken, that would cause that member to defend their vote, whether they vote yes or no. It's going to force them to defend that vote, and that could be troublesome for them when it comes to their election for House members and for Senate members. Won't bring controversial bills forward for that reason, and that is cowardly.
So following along with what you're saying, why are they even bothering to go to session if they're not going to pass anything worthwhile? Because they did the same exact thing, but worse, with Bill 1305, which was harmful materials for minors. What person in their right mind would not vote for a bill that says from K to 6, you cannot have harmful materials, i.e. pornography, in the schools disseminated to these minor children, that there is no age-appropriate material that is sexual in nature that should be given to these children? And that was a bill that went through committee and passed committee. And then the president of the Senate, Wilton Simpson, remember that name, everyone. And when you see his name in the primary for commissioner of agriculture, I don't care if and I'll say communist Mickey Mouse is running. I don't care. Do not vote for that man. He does not have children at heart, and he certainly could care less about the Florida population. The only thing that he's interested in, from what you're saying, Mike, and that made perfect sense, is that he had to be wishy-washy so that they wouldn't have to defend the fact that they want to give pornography to children. Insane.
And then a bill that is similar to that, Karen, and as you say, that is just shameful. A bill that is similar to that would say that children in K through 6 would not receive instructions on the LGBTQ agenda, this whole transgender nonsense. And the representative who originally presented that bill compromised on it and said, okay, we'll take it down K through third grade. Compromise with the Democrats. K through third grade, and that is what eventually passed the House, went over to the Senate, and then has passed the Senate. It's a shame to think that, okay, when you're in the sixth grade, you could be anywhere from 10 to 12 years old. So what they are saying is that a 10 to 12-year-old, it's okay for them to be exposed to the whole LGBTQ agenda. Someone in the fifth grade who's going to be 9 to 11, someone in the fourth grade who's going to be 8 to maybe 10 years old is going to be exposed to the LGBTQ agenda, which is trying to promote its acceptance, not as an unusual or aberrant lifestyle, that it is accepted. And so they narrow the bill down K through third grade, which is outrageous.
It's disgraceful.
It should have been K through 12th grade. You should not be teaching anything sexually in our public schools. That is something that should be done at home or perhaps with the parents and their own personal counselor or with the church. The school should have nothing to do with that.
Absolutely. The school has no place determining what sex your child should be. That is a private decision between you, your child, your doctor, and anybody else you choose, not the school choosing. What is happening to our children is, I believe, a preparation for sex trafficking, a preparation for acceptance of sexual activity. And what you're saying, Mike, is as low as the fourth grade. Low as the fourth grade, a child is going to be coached into accepting sexual activity, that it's part of their normal life. Folks, 0.05% of the population, 0.05, that is a half of 1%, a half of 1% of the population is transgender. Now, Mike, you and I both know that erroneously, they continually call America a democracy. Right. America is not a democracy, but let's give them America as a democracy for a second. What does a democracy say? Majority rules. How is 0.05% the majority? What happens to the other 99.5%? Where are these people? How they are left out? And yet they are the majority under a democracy where they should be ruling. What's wrong with this picture, folks? This is a disgrace.
Karen, you are absolutely right. And I love that you have called out that the United States is not a democracy. We're a republic. And anytime you hear an elected official or anyone who says that we are a democracy, you know you're talking to an ignoramus who does not understand our Constitution nor the history of this country. So what is the difference? A democracy says that majority rules. Well, Mike, isn't that what we do here in the United States? That if 51% vote on something that, or 50 plus 1% votes on something, that's how it is? No, we are a republic. A republic says that majority wins as long as you are within the framework of the law. You have to follow the rule of law. Just because the majority wants to do something that is illegal does not all of a sudden make it legal. It has to be within the constraints of a law, and that is what makes us a republic. And too many lawmakers do not understand that. And something else they do not understand is that their oath of office, which says that they will support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Florida. And what that does is it limits their ability to inflict upon the people rules, regulations, taxes, and so forth. They've thrown that out the window completely. And instead, every legislative session, the people in Florida are in danger because hundreds of bills are brought forward, most of them assaulting our freedom and our liberty, when instead there's only a very few which will repeal laws, bad laws that are currently on the books. So the first thing that has to be brought forward, I believe, Karen, particularly with elections coming up, everyone has to vote. You must go out and vote. Even though there was election fraud in Florida, proven election fraud in Florida, this was not the most fraud-free election in Florida's history. No, it was not.
No, it wasn't.
There was a lot of fraud that was done in Florida. And as these, everyone must go out and vote. And so vet the candidates who are running for office. Make sure that, one, they have read the Constitution. You're going to say an oath to support, protect, and defend it. Have you read it even since your civics class in high school, if you even had that? Make sure they have read the Constitution. Make sure you understand what their positions are on key issues. And I would say, look for these three things in any candidate. First of all, is it a person of faith? Secondly, is it a person of high integrity? And then third, are they a person who cherishes freedom? And don't just ask them that question and then take their yes answer as the end of it. Probe a little bit. Are you a person of faith? Oh, yes. Well, tell me about your faith. Explain it to me, what it means that you're a person of faith. Integrity. Are you a person of integrity? Oh, of course I am. Okay, then I need to know how you think and how you act and how you live, because your character is important. And then are you a person of freedom? Do you cherish our Constitution? Do you champion the rights of the individual? Do you believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion? equal protection of the law and the fact that that constitution limits your powers by the consent of the governed. All of that is so important. Vet your candidates, because they're all going to, right after this session is over, you're going to see them coming back home and campaigning like crazy because they have to. But make sure you vet those candidates and choose the one who is a person of faith, integrity, and stands for freedom.
I like those three questions, and I love what comes after that, folks, because we have a bad habit, as Mike said, when we ask them a question, we accept their answer. We do not ask probing questions. We don't say something like, okay, you're in favor of freedom. What does freedom mean to you? Why is freedom important to you? Why is being a moral person with integrity important to you? Why is having faith? I love those why questions. And then don't accept a one-word answer, because these people have been trained to do sound bites. And what happens with sound bites is they have no substance behind them. So they may give you that second answer. Ask them a third question. Don't let them get away without answering your questions. And folks, if you're running for office, or if you know someone that's running for office, it's wonderful to learn about that person. But you know what? I can read about that person. I can go and check and see what they have done in their life. I can see the people they associated with. I can see the business that they're in. I can see if they were a legislator, how they voted. So you do not want to let them off the hook by standing up and giving you a biography of their life and then saying, thank you very much. That's right. Not what this is about. We want to know, where do you stand on the border? Why is it important to close the border? Why is it important to make America energy independent? Or are you one of these greenies that can't equate renewables with fossil fuels? You can't figure out that without fossil fuels, folks, we're going to go down the tubes real fast, because a majority of our products are made with fossil fuels. So if we stop getting them and we stop using them, and now I was at the gas pump the other day, and gas is up to $5 a gallon, $5. It cost me over $100 to fill my gas tank, $100.
And Karen, that's a shame, because all of that can go away in about a week. Yep. If Biden would simply open up the Keystone Pipeline, open up drilling on federal land, as President Trump had done. When Trump was in office, gas was down to like $1.09, $1.15. Now we have this Biden cabal in office, this inept, incompetent regime, which was installed. They were not voted in. They were installed because there was massive election fraud, which we can all see. And because of this bumbling, inept regime that is there, we are paying too much money for our gas, which inflation is crazy. You go to the grocery store, everything has gone up. And what that is doing is stealing from the American people, when it does not have to be there. Inflation does not have to be this high. This is a man-made catastrophe, which needs to go away. And as you were talking about freedom, Karen, it made me think about how recently our governor has said that children do not in Florida, do not have to receive the COVID vaccine. He has removed the mask mandates everywhere, including schools in Florida. And those schools which will not comply, then they receive a lesser amount of funding, educational funding coming from the legislature, which I thought was a great move. I will go even further. And those school boards and principals that are going against the law, saying that the mask mandates are no longer required because it was passed by the legislature, that they should be prosecuted for breaking the law. Bring them and hold them accountable. Now we have this DC convoy of these truckers who are going up to Washington, D.C., after they saw how effective it was in Ottawa, Canada, to demand that these mandates be removed nationwide, so that we can open back up our economy again.
It is very sad when you realize that everything that we are suffering today has been thrust upon us by this administration. Folks, they are doing this on purpose. They want this to happen. I believe that they want the gas prices to go up so high so that they can turn around and say, well, it's the same cost as a windmill, so why don't we just buy more windmills? Or it's the same cost as solar panels, so why don't we just use solar panels? They are truly morons, because I always have to ask them, how do you make the solar panels? Well, you need fossil fuel. How do you run the windmills? How do you make the blades? How do you make all of that stuff? You need fossil fuel. So we need fossil fuel in order to create energy that is renewable. How does that make sense? It doesn't. Would somebody please tell me what will happen? Let's say horrible. We have another hurricane in Florida. We all know we will. And the governor says, evacuate. What do you do when you get in your electric car and you're sitting on I-95 or I-75 and all of a sudden your battery dies? How do you go and get your gas can filled up with electricity? How does that work? What's going to happen? And you,
Karen, and just to show you the irony of these Green New Deal people, of how it doesn't even make sense. As you were saying, it takes fossil fuels to create these windmills. These windmills are very damaging to our environment in two ways. They kill birds by the thousand, and then there's no way to dispose of them once they reach their shelf life. Are you going to just bury them in a ground somewhere? They don't decompose. And the same way with these solar panels. These solar panels are killing wildlife, birds. And then when you have these acres and acres of these solar farms, underneath that, nothing grows.
So that's very scary.
Environment. And yeah. Then what about when those solar panels reach their shelf life, which is not very long, by the way, about 7 to 10 years. Now, what are you going to do with those? You can't recycle them. You have to go. So you can see that those on the left, they don't even make sense when they are demanding that we use all green energy, because even your green energy schemes are hurting our environment.
Isn't that amazing, folks? This is what happens when science is no longer taught in school. And people don't understand that in order to make a windmill work, you have to have wind. Well, what happens if you're in a calm day? How many times you've been out in a sailboat and all of a sudden there's no wind? What happens? You have to turn on the electric motor. You have to turn on the gas motor to get the boat to move. Well, what happens when the windmill does not work because there's no wind? How does that work? What happens? People don't realize in Florida, yes, we are the sunshine state, but we only have sunshine approximately 80% of the time because the rest of the time it's cloudy. What happens to those solar panels when it's cloudy?
It doesn't come nighttime.
Yeah, it's another good one.
The power has to be stored in batteries. And those batteries, again, are an environmental nightmare. And we're not at the technological level right now where these batteries are able to store enough energy to get completely through those times when the sun isn't shining, or those batteries have to be so large that, again, they're an environmental nightmare. Instead of trying to force this upon the American economy, you let it naturally happen. The technology one day could very well, and I believe it will, develop to where you can use solar power, perhaps, or even windmills that aren't so large, be able to use those, or even hydro power, harnessing wind, the motion of currents, and so forth. The technology will eventually be developed, but if we have to subsidize it in order for it to continue, then you know that it is not at the place where it needs to be. The market should be able to dictate when it is now economically feasible to do it. And the market will do that very efficiently.
That's one thing that we can always count on. And that is when there is a demand for something, the supply chain will create it and they will modify it. That was the great thing about America. They would take a widget and they would say, man, if I added this to it and I added that to it, it would make it 1,000 times better and I'll do that. So we developed new things. When you don't have the ability to develop nothing new, then guess what happens? Nothing new. And that's what's going to happen in America now, because all of our industries are being so stymied that developing new things, nobody has the appetite to do it. It's so expensive, it will be off the charts. So, my friends, prepare, because it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And that's the bad thing about Americans. We'll go back to that one more time. Individuals, that's what America is based on. Individuals doing brilliant things. Well, I'll leave you with this one question. If individuals get a lousy education, how on earth are they going to develop anything new? They aren't. And what happens to America? We lose. We cannot allow that to happen. So as Mike said, this election and the questions that we ask our legislators when they come home will be of utmost importance. You must vote in the primary to get rid of the rhinos and then vote in the general election. And we have to have millions of people voting. Why? Because the more people that vote, the harder it is for them to steal anything. Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This has been always a wonderful conversation with you. And you have such a great understanding of what's going on, and I appreciate it. So I hope you will come back again real soon.
Karen, it's always a pleasure. Yes, thank you for having me.
Okay. Folks, you are listening to Karen Schoen with my wonderful guest, Mike Hill. And this is on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 9. Please share that information. And please go and visit the Florida Citizens Alliance, goflca.com. Join the alliance and help us get the legislators to not only pass the bills in committee, but actually get the good ones passed as they need to be. Thank you all. See you again next week.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on.